Hi, everybody. Eric Mann, Voices from the Front Lines. First of all, I just want to say I want to thank the growing, I think, listenership of Voices from the Front Lines. When Damon and I and Tammy Lou and Manuel started this show about 15 months ago, we really were wondering, like, who's out there? And over the last 15 months, we've been meeting just a tremendous number of people in the community who do listen and have adopted our slogan, Tell Your Boss I Get Off at 4 on Mondays. And we're very deeply gratified of how many, in particular, Black and Latino listeners throughout the city have been appreciating the show, becoming regular listeners. Of course, we want people of all races, but this is an important city and an anti-racist show, and it means a lot to us from who calls in to who tells us that they support the work. Now, Damon stole my line about, well, we'll just spend an hour on Crash. You know, this is a deep, deep movie, and you don't have to agree that's what movie reviews are on, but I think it's a fine movie. I'll start by saying it's by, I want to check out this guy, Paul Haggis, who I'd like to get on the show soon. He directed it, wrote the story and the screenplay, and he even, it turned out, has a little bit part in it. I don't know what he plays. I'm going to read you first the review that I found, a little short review in the New York Times, for which I do not agree. A gaggle of Los Angeles residents from various economic and ethnic backgrounds collide, sometimes literally, in the course of a hectic 36-hour period. Well-intentioned, impressively acted, but ultimately a speechy, ponderous melodrama of liberal superstition masquerading as realism. Well, you know, we're living at a time now, boy, anything that has an edge of decency, an edge of anti-racism, an edge of attempting to teach in the process of good acting and good drama is called a well-intentioned, but ultimately speechy, ponderous, blah, 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 blah. And God forbid if it's liberal, then we definitely got to kill it. How do we even start this conversation? The first thing is this is really an effort. An amazing ensemble cast, Sandra Bullock and Brendan Fraser, the DA, sort of like a James Hahn, and disgruntled wife. Matt Dillon as the racist police officer, Officer Ryan, Jennifer Esposito as a Latina sidekick in the police car, Terrence DeShawn Howard as a middle-class producer, a TV producer, and his wife, Thandi Newton, playing Christine. It's frankly one of the first roles she's played in a long time with a black man as her partner. Ryan Philippe, apparently married to whatever her name is, Blondie, playing Officer Hansen as a well-intentioned cop that ends up having problems of his own. Lorenz Tate played Peter as one of the black street kids. He originally played Frankie Lyman. I was checking out his credits in Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Keith David, another really fine black actor, playing Lieutenant Dixon. Tony Danza, Sean Taub, who he's you're going to talk about him, who's one of the Arab characters, or Persian characters, rather, who keeps making the distinction he's not Arab. But yet I looked under the poor guy's vita, and you talk about, like, his prior parts include about four terrorists, and one was called Dark Skin Matt. That was the name of his title. It wasn't even a character.
It wasn't even a name,
just Dark Skin Man. And then Loretta Devine, who played Shanique. We can go on and on. Amazing, amazing cast. This is an effort to basically do a very complicated story. It's trying to address racial stereotypes by both showing the racial stereotypes and then trying to rebut them. Obviously, this is dangerous turf. I don't know if Paul Haggis is black. I hope he is.
I think he's Canadian. I don't know if he's African descent or whatnot. But
okay, cool. We'll check him out. Whoever he is, the idea of trying to play to stereotype and then defeat stereotype is very, very hard because you're putting out certain racist concepts in the dominant culture that's racist. An example is, without tipping off, we don't want to tip off too much of this film, but like, Don Cheadle is in a relationship with Jennifer Esposito, and they have a back-and-forth fight, and he basically doesn't even know if she's white or Latina, and then he says she's Latina, and she says, look, I think my mother is Puerto Rican, and what's her dad's
name? Colombian.
Colombian. And he says, well, what's the difference of all these Latino ethnicities? You know, you don't want to lump them all together, but they all end up putting their cars on the front lawn. And when he made that joke, I was at the Arc Light, which was an overwhelmingly white audience. Everybody cracked up. Like, everybody thought that was real funny. But then there's another joke with Ludacris, who's the rap artist who's really exceptional in the film, along with his partner, Lorenz Tate. So they're two young black men at the, basically like the Santa Monica 3rd Street Mall, or 2nd Street, 3rd, whatever it is. And they're saying, you know, it's really frightening out here being only two black people in the middle of this whole mall, and they think we're like radical UCLA students and stuff, and I'm frightened being here. And that didn't get any laughs. So it was interesting, most of the jokes about
I laughed at that one.
I did too. I did too. But it was just interesting, the same audience that got that, all the other anti-Latino right. black stereotypes couldn't relate to the anti-white criticisms, which were pretty good, I thought. Now, how do you even unravel this? I haven't even told you any of the story, and I don't know if I can. Just give you an example. Ryan Philippe has a problem with Matt Dillon, who's two white guys, and he considers his partner racist. He sees a particular very grueling scene that is very moving in the beginning of the show, the beginning of the film. So he goes to his superior, who's a black officer named Keith David, and he says, hey, playing Lieutenant Dixon, says, I want to basically get out, either we get out of my relationship with this partner, this white racist partner. So then the black lieutenant or sergeant says to him, so you're saying basically that I, who supervise all these white crackers and who supervise all these racists, you think that I don't understand about racism. So if you make a charge, ultimately that can cost me my job, not him his job. So basically I would like you not to make that charge. And then there's some very clever dialogue I won't go into about how the black officer tries to threaten the white officer. The point being that what the writer is trying to show is the enormous nexus of racism and how everybody is caught up in it and not necessarily playing to part. I'll end by saying this before my brother Damon comes in. There's a very moving situation between Terrence DeShawn Howard, who plays Cameron, and Thandi Newton, who plays Christine, a very upper middle class, somewhat black bourgeois. He's a director. They have a lot of money. They're driving in an Escalade, and they're pulled over by the cops. And there's a scene in which she is humiliated by the white police and afterwards turns on him for not protecting her and not standing up for her against the white police. There's a whole evolution of showing his affluence, his upward mobility, and yet ultimately his humiliation on the part of white people, and yet how it turns not him and his wife into an alliance against the white power structure, but how it begins to classically emasculate, as we say, the black man in front of his wife, have his wife raise concerns about his, quote, manhood, his desire, did she, you know, what was he supposed to do, kill the cop, get them both killed? Well, maybe so, you know, Huey Newton would have done it, and she basically berates him for not defending her. And then there's an incredible evolution of his character, which we won't tip you off on. But the point is that I think with all of the particular things that you can find wrong with this film, I think this is the most courageous, interesting, creative effort to deal with race relations from an anti-racist point of view. And if you make certain mistakes along the way, hey, this is rough terrain for any of us just talking to each other, let alone doing a film. I give this like the, what are we going to call it? The Red Stars? No. Red Star over China? Four stars, five stars. This is a must-see. Not necessarily must-love, but this is a must-see, incredible film. And then next week, we can even get you on the phones today, actually. And next week, too, come on back, go see the film, and give us your own mini-reviews at the end of today's show and next week's. Turn over to my brother Damon. We're still on Crash. This is Eric Mann with Damon Ozzoli. You're on KPFK 90.7. Now, Damon's going to do his hits on this film, Crash, and then we're going to move to the other guests.
Well, I think one of the interesting things, if you talk about kind of the black bourgeoisie and how they kind of relate in this country, I mean, throughout the whole film, whether it's Cameron, his wife, Lorenz Tate, the lieutenant, Shaniqua, every black character in this movie, you can see that there is this kind of schizophrenic dual personality thing. It's like that. It's kind of like saying, beating over your head over and over again, if you're black, you're not American. Because in every other thing, it's like saying, okay, this is how it should be for, you know, normal people, but this is how it turns out. And when I think about it, I think very much of the letter to Willie Lynch that goes back and talks about how the slave master, there was this speech that Willie Lynch made that basically broke down how the slave master can break down the black community by getting the strongest man, attacking him, you know, killing him, taking the next strongest man, beating him to an inch of his life, and then basically going against basically standing up for their people. And it's just a way that breaks down the culture. I think in how I think about in terms of this movie, I wanted to go through a couple of characters. And as Eric said, you know, I think it's a very, very complex and courageous thing that the director did in trying to talk about how these different nationalities interact, but not so much reinforce these stereotypes. And I think he did a really good job on a lot of it, and a couple of them, not so good. So I'm going to start on the better side. So I'm going to start with Michael Pena, who played Daniel. Daniel was a Chicano locksmith in his late 20s that was hardworking and basically trying to help support his family and raise his 5-year-old daughter. His character experiences what most oppressed nationality people of color experience, and at a certain point just tune it out and ignore it, the kind of racist comments, accusations of people being gangsters, criminals, etc. I think that this character was one of the most interesting and different from, and apart from how Chicanos and Latinos and Mexicanos are usually portrayed. So Daniel, just check it out, has basically tattoos, shaved head, and whatnot. But what you really get into the characters with is how he is with his daughter. I mean, he completely is there, devoted, present father for his daughter, and it's to the point that, like, when I saw it, I had, like, you know, watery eyes, whatever, but I'm getting emotional usually a lot lately in these movies. But anyway, I just think that is just, it was a really, really touching space, and I don't want to give out more of the movie, but his character goes through a lot, and I think at the end it was the only one critique that I would kind of put, and I won't say it, I'll just have you look at basically how he pushes back against his oppression. Because I think how he dealt with it, of course, there are people in the Chicano Latino community that would deal with it this way. But as a representation of that particular grouping, it's a directing choice. It's a script writing choice, what the director made. And I just think it's an interesting one. Second one, I would say go to what, you know, folks call Ludacris Bridges, who is a hip hop artist. And if you've got one of my mixed CDs lately, he's been on it along with Jay-Z. You know, we're moving away from some of the progressive. But in the movie, he plays a politically conscious black man who spends most of his time in the movie jacking cars. As he is in a car with Lorenz Tate of Love Jones, most people might know him from that, he evokes the names of Fred Hampton and Huey Newton, and sees his income-generating activity as a form of reparations, since he basically jacks, you know, these luxury SUVs from white neighborhoods and is vehemently against jacking from black folks. So Ludacris as Daniel even has a critique of gangster rap, and he says how it affects the self-image of the black community. Again, I think this flips it and is more nuanced twist in terms of character development, because he... Even at the end, you'll see he's seen as kind of finally as a liberator of sorts on this side of a modern day kind of middle passage, if you will. So if people have seen it, you can kind of see how it works together. Okay, so we went from the good and the great to the not so great. So as we were talking about Farhad, who is played by Sean Toom, who is an Iranian shopkeeper. He is shown as an erratic and mostly irrational person of West Asian descent. I say West Asian descent because that's actually where the Middle East is located. And there's a whole dialogue within the movie about Persian, Arab, Iranian, whatnot. I think this portrayal totally jives with the the flag-waving hysteria after 9-1-1, in which you saw U.S. flags replacing the Laker flags on the cars driving around Los Angeles. And I think that this is one of the characters in the movie that isn't redeemed. I think most people, there's a movement within it, but in this character, it isn't. I guess the other piece would be the kind of Asian Pacific Islander characters, which are very little movement within that, and, you know, the stereotypical bad driver, what, et cetera. So I guess the final kind of sense is, you know, Chicano, Black national question, good. Arab and Asian diaspora relations not portrayed as well. So.
And with that, we'll and whites not shown enough in terms of their difference and their privilege versus oppressed nationalities. But to be continued, folks, I don't even know if we were coherent, but obviously deeply moved by the film, and we'll take a break, and we'll come back with our first guest.